You're listening to Pastor Bill Surjack.
This will be the last sermon from Joshua. It's not completely at the end of the book. They renew some of the covenant that God made with his people, and also you read about the death of Joshua later in the book. But this is the one that I think I want to finish off with. This is in Joshua, the 23rd chapter, in verses 1 through 13, as Joshua is saying farewell and giving his final words to those who would lead the people. So hear now the word of God. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between Jordan and the great sea to the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. You are to hold fast the Lord your God, as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs a thousand, because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you will be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out the nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips in your back and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land, which the Lord your God has given you. Thank God that he has not left us alone to know what he is like, but he's revealed himself in a way that we can understand by becoming a man in the person of Christ, that revelation is accurately retained for us. And this is holy word. Joshua is reminding the Jews of how they got to where they did. Because it's very tempting to begin to think that there's a lot of other things that worked in your life, your own strength, your own ability, all the things that you might be able to do that got you what you have today. But Joshua was very careful to remind the Jews that it was God who conquered the land for them. We read songs about the size of Joshua's spear, about how Joshua conquered Jericho. Actually, with Jericho, the walls fell down, and all the Jews had to do was to go into the land and possess it. God continually worked within the Jews and for them. It was God who actually conquered the land for them, the land that they were now living in and the land that they were now surviving in. And Joshua was warning the people, now when he is old, to remember it was God who did these things. When you look back fondly on these years that went so well, don't say, boy, wasn't it great back there when Joshua was alive. And Joshua was our leader. The leaders that we have right now aren't worth much of anything, but when Joshua was there, he was the one who really helped us conquer this land. When you look back, remember who was really the conqueror of the land. It was God. God was the one who had conquered the land. And what you want to remember to do are to follow God's way, to continue to do things according to the way God has told you to do things. Don't begin to follow the gods of this world, the gods of the land that you came from. Because when you begin to follow the gods of the land that you came from, when you begin to follow those gods, you begin to worship the gods of this world. You begin after a while to think, well, maybe these gods were the ones who really brought strength to us. And they begin to lead you away from the Lord your God, who actually was the one who brought you through that. Or sometimes even the gods can be the gods who can begin to point you to yourself, so that you begin to think that it was you who was the one who really conquered this land. You worked hard, you fought hard, your ancestors worked hard and fought hard, and they were the ones that really conquered the land. And you forget who it was. And you start beginning to follow a different way other than the ways of God. Joshua said to remember the book of the law. That was the main thing that the Jews at that time had to be able to show them what God was like and the way God would have them to live. Today we're much better off because we not only have the law of God to show us the best way to live, we have God himself who we can go into relationship with and we can begin to draw closer to. And just like the people that we were close to formed and molded us as we grew up, we also have God himself. And in our relationship to him, he begins to mold and form us to the way we speak. At any rate, Joshua warns the people to make sure that you begin to follow God's way, that you operate within God's system and God's way of doing things. And that's the thing that Joshua wants to leave with the people, with the carefulness that it is God's way, that it was God who brought them there, and they are to continue to live and act in God's way, and not to become involved with the gods of this world. This past couple of days, Sandy and I were able to go over and spend a few days with our grandchildren. It was our grandson Gage's birthday over this time, and he also played in a Little League baseball game that I got to see. Our daughter has been pushing, particularly for me to come over. She says, you were the one that got Gage interested in baseball, so now you need to be able to come here and see him play some games. And I was able to, and it was a lot of fun to be able to be there for that time. We spent the night in the motel because Sandy and I could only stand so much of the grandchildren at a time, and there's four small ones over there right now with one more on the way. So we spent the night in a motel, and Sandy was reading this Christian magazine one day in the motel, and she read it over, and then she showed it to me, and she said, is this as bad as I think it is? And I read it over, and it was from a well-known Christian. I said, this isn't at all what God has said. Because basically what this person has done is that they have taken the gods of this world, the things that this world says we should be striving after, and keeping those kinds of things, and saying God is going to help you get these things. There has no promise whatsoever that God's going to do that. What God is doing is completely changing the way we are and the way we're to respond. We begin to become his children rather than children of the world. And to the world, we're going to look increasingly weird. We're going to look very different and wonder why in the world you behave the way you behave. Now, Christians these days have not really done much of that. As a matter of fact, as most people look around today and they would see what Christians are like and what the world is like, about the only difference that they see is that Christians talk about Jesus a little bit more. But the way they live their lives are pretty much the same way. And they're striving after pretty much the same thing. It's just that they're using God to try to help get those things. And what God is wanting us to do is to not follow the gods of this world. He wants us to begin to follow him. Now, the way we do that is, again, just by bringing him there and into all that we do. Like we said earlier, that the way to peace is by knowing God. If you're looking for peace in your household, it might help a little bit to learn some of the techniques of conflict resolution, to work towards some sort of a peacefulness in the household. But the only way that you're going to get a peace that is beyond understanding is when God begins to become the core of your household. In your own life, when you begin to look for peace in your own soul, it's not going to be coming by improving your self-image to the point where you just feel good about everything. It's going to come as you begin to realize more and more who you really are, God's child. and begin to live more and more in the reality of that. Ethan, peace in our world. Now, peace in our world, I don't think, is going to come from treaties. Some people have asked me, am I working for world peace? And they'll usually say, am I politically working for world peace? And I don't know anybody who's working for world war. People just have different ideas about the way that you will come up with peace. And when people ask me if I am working for peace, I say, yeah, I'm telling people about God. And the only way that we'll really have peace is when the reality of God begins to come into our lives and into our world. And that's the way that God has called us to begin to work and to begin to become different. And in this magazine that Sandy was reading and that I read too, it was a well-known Christian basically teaching how you can get all the stuff that the world tells you you need, and you can get it by Jesus Christ. It's all going to come in that way. And the trick is, the thing is, he's actually worshiping the gods of this world and not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not the God of Jesus Christ. One of the books that I need to read for my seminar in Princeton by Peter Benzero, who's going to be one of the speakers there, and it's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. I'm going to read a little section in there because he talks about the book of Revelation. And everybody thinks that the book of Revelation is about the prophecy of the way things are going to come. And I've heard that particular thing almost as long as I've been a Christian. But probably about 35 years ago, I began to see the book of Revelation in a different way. And I thought probably a lot of people did, but most people don't. They still pretty much see it in the same way. He says a little bit about the beast of this world, which is the beast of the culture and the ways of this world, and being able to leave behind that beast to begin to follow Jesus Christ. And here's the way he says it, give you a little bit of an idea of what I mean when I say we all begin to form our lives according to this world. Here's what he said. The message of Revelation is that in all history, in all parts of the world, believers must resist and overcome the beast expressed through the culture of their generation. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. That's a quote from Revelation 13:10. Therefore, it is essential that we clearly see how the beast threatens the church and absorbs Christians in our day. As Os Guinness wrote, due to the combination of capitalism, technology, and modern communication, the most powerful civilization ever, a global culture, has been formed. This global culture is the beast that threatens to swallow us in these days. The core value of the beast is the 21st century scream at us from billboards, computers, televisions, DVDs, music, schools, newspapers, magazines, and iPods. The beast tells us these things. Happiness is found in having things. You should get all you can for yourself as quickly as you can. Security is found in money, power, status, and good health. Above all, you should seek all the pleasure, convenience, and comfort you can. God is irrelevant to everyday life. Christianity is just one of many alternative spiritualities. There are no moral absolutes. Whatever is true for you is what is true. You're not responsible for anybody but yourself. And this life on earth is all there is. Like fish swimming in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, unaware they are in water, we too live oblivious to our beast. Like the Christians in the first century, we live in a culture shaped by the beast. We eat, drink, drive, watch television and movies, attend schools, shop, work, raise families, listen to the music, and even participate in churches within a society shaped by the beast. This feeds the fire of the beast within us. I am referring to the fears, the mistrust, the fierce self-will, and the stubbornness of the rebellion in our very death. When I read that, I was just reminded of something that I read 35 years ago. a book by William Stringfellow called An Ethic for Christians and Other Aliens in a Strange Land. Here's what he said. We live in a land of the beast, a land of the culture that is not of God, that is not driven by God, does not recognize the power of God, does not recognize the presence of God. And as Christians, we are not called to just work in that culture and be able to get as much as we can according to what the culture tells us. We're to begin to become different. We're going to be different in many of the things that we do. You know, that's one of the reasons that Sandy and I, about 4 years ago, decided we weren't going to watch any more television. It wasn't because we thought there was a particularly immoral presence of sexuality and violence on it, but because it taught us something that we don't believe in. It taught us something that goodness comes from the material things that we possess. And having not watched it for about 4 years, it's rather amazing how our wants and desires for things has gone down. And one of the things that God calls us to do is to begin to have our lives formed, not by the beast, not by the world in which we're living in, but being formed by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like Joshua was reminding the people of Israel, it was God who empowered you, strengthened you. Make sure that you continue to follow God's way, not the way the world in which we live in. And Joshua said this when he was old and becoming infirm. You watched me grow older and becoming infirm. And if there's one message that I would want to give in the book of Joshua, that would be it. Begin to have your lives formed by being the children of the Lord. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you don't entrust us with your power completely. Lord, I'm sure we would make a terrible mess of things. We would use it badly. So we come this morning, Lord, to confess our sins and to admit to you the things that we have done that were just of us, not of you. And Lord, to admit the wrong that was in them. Will you and the congregation take a moment to silently confess your sins while I confess mine, taking God simply His word that a sin confessed coupled with the determination to forsake that sin is not only forgiven, but removed from the memory of God and is no longer part of our relationship to Him. Will you now silently confess your sin while I confess mine? Lord, we are thankful for forgiveness. We are thankful, Lord, that you have given us a new way of life. And we pray, Lord, that increasingly we would learn to live as your children in this world. Lord, we're thankful for what you're able to do. And Lord, I'm thankful for this point in my life where I can begin to see I have enough time in ministry, and I can begin to see what you've done. I probably am not that strong as your child, and you've entrusted me with only a little of your power. But Lord, I've been amazed the way in sharing you have worked in people's lives, made them new, made them stronger as your children. And Lord, we're thankful for all that you do. And we pray, Lord, that increasingly we know that all the best of the things of this world will pass away. But Lord, we know that the things and the people of your kingdom are forever. And we pray, Lord, that increasingly we would stand and be a part of your kingdom rather than the kingdom of this world. We pray, Lord, that in each of the things that we face in our lives, not only that you would bring your strength and your power, but Lord, that you would also use all of those things that we might grow as your children and more our lives would be oriented toward you. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.